Okay, any questions?
Too late, we're on the air. I'm going to make radio now.
You are.
Huh?
History. Radio history.
No, not history, just radio. So what polar vortex? Never heard of it. In fact, at first I thought they said Polish vortex. Who was a wrestler, used to fight Dick the Bruiser. The Polish vortex, they call him. Well, anyhow, what do you know?
Live from Cleveland, Ohio to Tempe, Arizona, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's Milwaukee music legend Paul Sebar, all the news that isn't in the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's been having a polar vortex, it's Michael Feldman.
Well, you know, the Weather Channel has naming rights for all the winter weather events and such, and originally they were going to call this, instead of the polar vortex, it was going to be the Al Roker vortex, but it didn't catch on. I don't know. You know, what is it? It's a Canadian Clipper, we used to call it, right? The Zephyr. If you're in Chicago, they call it the Zephyr. The tongue of cold air from Canada, the long version. Yeah, yeah. Winter is what we used to call it, actually. You know, it's fun throwing boiling water out the door for a while, but it gets old. It's cool, though, the first few times. If you don't scald yourself. I mean. Minus 21 on the thermometer before it froze. That was a good old thermometer. You know, it's a whole lot worse in Celsius, too, actually. I looked it up. Even worse in Celsius. So it's good to be, at least we were in Fahrenheit, the way I look at it. This is weather made for acts of heroism, like 21 below, I went out and rolled up the hammock. Which I meant to do much earlier, but you know, it gets away from you, those things. You know, you have to knock the snow off the hammock and then roll it up. And heroic, minor heroism. What a story that'll make in the future. Kids? Well, that's the thing. Kids will be able to annoy their kids now with the endless stories of the polar vortex back in aught 14. So they'll have those stories. That's the upside. Now, in all the news that wasn't weather, over half of all Americans now favor marijuana legalization. Coincidentally, the same number as all Americans who are high. Nancy Grace is the only exception. She said we're fat and lazy. Check the monitor. That's what I say, Nancy. You're a user. Can't afford to slap those munchies on her thighs, I don't think, Nancy. At least, you know, with medical marijuana, there's a much shorter list of side effects than on the evening news drugs. I'm taking 3 or 4 evening news drugs right now. I have no idea what they're for. I think they're for the evening news or something. It's okay. They should tell you what they're for. In other news still, Dennis Rodman sings Happy Birthday, Mr. President to North Korea's Kim Jong-un, dressed as Marilyn. Why want to be there for that, boy? New Jersey Governor Chris Christie personally blocked 7 lanes of traffic on the George Washington Bridge. The 8th manages to snake around him. At least his top aide abandoned Plan A, which was to roll a giant Chris Christie through the gates of Fort Lee, New Jersey. The Supreme Court rolls back Utah gay marriages to roommate status. President Obama promises promise zones to hard-hit cities, but, you know, promise zones are meant to be broken zones. How meaningful. That's as meaningful as I get. You know, so you can relax now. All the meaning is gone. Well, the Tea Party wants to put a 7-foot tea bag next to the 10 Commandments in the Oklahoma City State Capitol. 7-foot tea bag. This thing keeps going out. I don't know what it is. There's a Velveeta shortage for the Super Bowl, but it's no longer us cheeseheads' problem. Yeah. So the heck with it. There's that. The tax advisor says a waitress tipped with meth at an Oregon restaurant needs to declare street value on her 1040. Insane clown posse sues insane clown FBI. That's not for everyone. How many of you are insane clown posse fans? Applaud if you are. Keep applauding. Keep applauding. A little ripple, no? Anyone? You applaud if you know that who the insane clown posse is or are. Okay, but you're not fans despite that. Okay, that's fine. That's cool. All right, I won't use that joke again, I guess. Some of them I do, you know. Former Secretary of Defense Robert Graves trashes President Obama, his family, and the dog in his new book, 12 Years a Knave. Thank you, John. What would I do without you?
I don't know.
Those concerned about security at the Sochi Olympics in Russia will not be so happy to know the Cossacks will be riding through. Keep order. That worked for my people many years ago. It should be great. Could be a trial sport, Cossack riding. Olympic. Target says, maybe like more like 70, 80 million. Not to worry, 10% off for all of them who have your card. More than half the members of Congress are millionaires, so they ain't doing it for the money. Or like revenge, I guess. I have no idea. Americans warned to be cautious using over-the-counter laxatives over-the-counter. Gets messy. After being banned by the Knicks for untying sneakers of opponents, J.R. Smith has taken a shoeshine position at Grand Central Station. I think that's pretty good. I mean, what's with him? You know, J.R. Smith? Any of you J.R. Smith fans here know the Knicks? What is with that, untying the shoelaces of your opponents during a game? I mean, you would have to get down on the floor.
I think he just bends over. Grabs.
Okay. Let's see then. That's why that joke went over so good, because nobody knows about him. Let's see. Oh, after his profanity-laced violent video diatribe, the parents of the thug toddler have been placed in protective custody. All right. The hit of the 2014 Consumer Electronics Show is a smartphone stun gun, which can be used on others talking too loud for you to hear. Meryl Streep blasts Walt Disney as just plain goofy. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson sues self over Obamacare vote. Okay. All right, never know what you guys are like. That's fine. You can have that one. Johnny Manziel to go from Johnny Football in college to NFL's Hello Kitty. Adopting the Euro, Latvians lose their popular currency, the lat, and they will now be known as Vians. I'm trying here. I'm struggling. You got to give me the benefit of the doubt. If there's any doubt at all in your mind. The Bering Strait freezes again during the polar vortex, allowing humans to leave the North American continent. Page four. An overwhelming majority of Republicans believe evolution should be a choice, not a mandate. The Wisconsin legislature passes a surprisingly liberal school team naming bill, bringing the Milwaukee Jew Boys closer than ever to reality. That's a team I'd play for. I don't care. There's a little pride involved. And finally, Wisconsin goes from polar vortex to postseason vortex. Next for the Packers, the longest yard bowl at Citrus State Penitentiary. And that's all the news. Don't look so puzzled. That is it. I can explain all of these. Or for 10 cents in coin, you can get a copy of this from the Merkle Press. If you can still find the Merkle Press. Those of you old enough to know the Merkle Press. Otherwise, it's not going to happen for you. Where is Paul? Is he here?
Right
is
here.
He still in it? Where is he? Paul Seabar, ladies and gentlemen, join us here today on the What Do You Know show. called C-Bar. His new band is called Tomorrow Sound. He was formerly with the Milwaukee. What did you do with the Milwaukeeans? Did you have to kill them all to get the new band?
They're sleeping.
Huh?
Hushed it up a little.
Hushed it up?
Yeah.
Because the Milwaukeeans, I think, is like the perfect band name. I'd like to use it if I had a band.
Can
I?
Well, you can use it now. Mike.
Is it available?
It's wide open.
Because Mike and the Milwaukeeans.
Yeah.
Because then you can use the MKE like in the, you know, an airport.
That's right.
Thing and everything. You decided it was time to go on to a different concept, or what happened there, Paul?
I did. I wanted to shock my fans into remembering that we were around.
Yeah.
So I chose a name that was forward-looking.
Yeah. Tomorrow Sound.
Yes.
The sound of tomorrow.
That's right.
Okay.
Today.
Today.
Yeah.
One day only.
That's right.
Sounds like a sale or something. Well, that's really good. But you know, I still like the other one too. But you. Paul C-Bar slept on my floor. This is going to be like one of those Bob Dylan stories. Say, Bob Dylan slept on my floor. Remember, you hear people saying that once in a while. In 1964,
you stole all of his
records. Sleeping on my floor? What?
And Bob was known for stealing all of their records when he stayed over.
Yeah.
You didn't take anything from my
house.
I was a nicer guest.
Yeah, you didn't. I don't think you took a thing, did you?
I did not.
Yeah. That was very cool. Remember that, sleeping on my floor?
I do remember that.
I think it made your career possible.
I think it was a big step up.
There was, right next to the floor. Hopefully you didn't hit your head on it. And then, and actually, when I was doing my show from Dolly's Fine Foods, like in 1978, I think it was. Huh?
Mm-hmm. It was about a similar time of the day, I recall.
Yes, you were in a similar form, I remember. You couldn't actually speak yet. But you could still sing. That's so amazing. You can't speak, but you can sing and play. That's really cool. And who wanders in but this troubadour with this beat-up guitar? You still have that guitar? That's not it, I don't think.
This is not it.
Yeah, that was like a squarish guitar you used to carry around.
Yeah, I can't remember which one that was.
It was really beat up.
It's
true. Yeah, and that was him. And he's been him ever since. History is what I'm saying.
It's been St. Vincent de Paul now for probably 20 years. Dolly's.
Yeah, they took over. They were next door, and then they just took over.
That's right. That's a charming place.
Yeah. So thank you for coming. I know you're playing tonight at the Harmony Bar here in Madison.
That's right.
And then when's Milwaukee, the Milwaukee date?
Milwaukee was last night.
Was last night.
Turner
you can't
Hall.
Make that. Okay.
You'll then, really enjoy it.
Yeah. They had a great time if they were there. And then we're going on tour.
We are. We're heading east toward the end of the month.
Yeah.
We got a 2-week run kind of starting in Columbus, Ohio, and ending up in Hudson, New York.
Hudson, New York. Okay.
And many points between.
Many points in between. And will they hear something like this?
I think they will. They'll hear something, but augmented with the sound of the band.
The whole band, the Tomorrow Boys.
Yes.
Wherever they are. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul C-Bar.
All right. We'll do a little, this one will acknowledge the polar vortex. It's called Just That Cold.
Had you balmy, I had you with a breeze. Had you pulled the weather broke down to some deep breeze. I had you pegged a lover, warm heart and tender soul. Well, maybe I'm just stone crazy, and maybe you're just that cold. Maybe you're just that cold. Someone's feeling suffers and someone gets to sweat. Someone gets to getting and someone to forget. Now me, I'm seeing snake eyes, that's how the dice have rolled. Maybe there'll be no summer, and maybe it's just that cold. Maybe it's just that cold. I never listen to those happening by. They never been on the ride. I never thought I'd take it out on myself and doubt what's the savor inside. Thank you. kept things cracking, I held up my hand. But cracking's a problem when you're trying to bend. There ain't no more handouts, it's all bought and sold. And me, I'm barely wriggling on this hook. Maybe it's just that cold. Maybe it's just that cold. Maybe we're just that cold. Maybe it's just that cold. At some deep breeze, I had you paid a lover, woman, a tender soul. Well, maybe I'm just stone crazy, and maybe you're just that cold. Maybe we're just that cold. Maybe it's just that cold. Maybe we're just that cold.
Tune. Is that on the new album?
That's on the new album. This one.
Is that the new album?
That's the new album.
What is that called, that new album?
It's called Fine Rude Thing.
Fine Rude Thing?
That's what it's called.
I like it. Oh, thank you. You want money for this?
From you?
No. I get the implications of that. Thank you very much. Looks good. Oh, I should probably show people. Okay. So just socking it away.
It will be in stores near you as of Tuesday.
Fine Rude Thing. Cool, very cool. All songs by Paul Sebar, except as indicated.
Mm-hmm.
Take as indicated.
There's a number of co-writes on this record.
Yeah, cool, very cool. And so, okay, so now, by the way, those are the same shoes you had when you walked into that Dolly's in 1978.
They could very well be.
You keep them very, you really are kind to your shoes.
It's the shoe trees, man.
Doing a lot of writing, are you?
I've been doing a fair amount of writing,
Is this a prolific period?
I've been having a good time. There's a guy, Pat McLaughlin, in Nashville. I've written a number of things with him.
Oh, cool.
And there's four on the record that he and I co-wrote. There's one that I co-wrote with Cesar Rosas of Los Lobos that I'm really proud of.
And fantastic.
Another one, Chuck Mead, who's led the band BR549, and now has the Grassy Knoll Boys.
Yeah.
Okay. We wrote one, and then Willie Porter in Milwaukee.
Sure.
We wrote one, too.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Well, how about another one from you?
Sounds
good. Did you
wake
up enough to play another one?
This is one of the Pat McLaughlin collaborations. This is called Like Loving People Do. When we were writing it, Pat insisted that it should be called The Arrangement, because we were talking about records like The Letter. And he thought that would be a good idea. Yeah. But I chickened out. Called it Like Loving People Do. Here we go. There ain't nothing that I would rather do while you sit and dream than make your dreams come true. But making dreams come true is one thing I find that other people seem a whole lot better at. Now if you'd be so kind to let me take a whack and making yours come true, I could rear 'em
will find a way to act like loving people do. Now loving people sure set that bar up high. Telling all that truth and letting all that fly, while holding on so tight to what's been here and gone. It doesn't sit too well, the words all come out wrong. So what say we wade in the water not so cold? There's bound to be a break in this howling wind. I'll try and hear you out if you let me get mine in and work my way around to your dream again. La, 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 la.
Seabar.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's
morning,
What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Am I going in the audience now?
Yes, you are. Correct.
Okay. All right. That's
God, that beer must be strong.
I didn't have a chance to really look through your cards, so it's going to be random. Random. But I heard you 55 years saying, yes, ma'am. Was that right?
Yes.
You almost said yes, ma'am, to me, didn't you?
No, it was close.
Is that the secret, then, to getting to 55 years with someone?
You betcha.
Yeah.
1 year, it would help.
What have you been saying all these 55 years?
Tell him what to do.
You do? Does he respond, or does he pretend he can't hear you?
Occasionally he responds.
Yes,
are you comfortable with that?
Yes, dear.
It works out, though, apparently.
Works beautifully, yeah. Yeah, but it takes a long time to train.
Really? How many of those 55 years were in training?
Oh, at least 54.
He's come around the past year.
He works at it now.
And what things do you make him do?
Well, we work together, so it's really difficult. You know, I have to watch him all the time.
What do you work at?
We own a trophy company.
A trophy company? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you tell him what to do with the trophies?
No,
I'll tell you what you can do with your trophy.
No, I would never dare to do that. No, okay. No, we compliment each other very well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I mean, you tell him what inscriptions to put on there or something?
No, I just kind of laugh at him all day long.
Oh. Where is your trophy company? What's it called?
What's it called? Yeah. Total Awards and Promotions.
Total Awards, right here. I've never gotten one. I've never gotten one, so it's not really total, is it?
Oh, I've got some I'll bring you.
I want it to be, you know, legit, though.
Well, I have an Oscar. You want one?
No, I don't think I deserve it yet.
Okay, it's better than the Emmy. I thought about giving you an Emmy, but...
No, Oscar, maybe a lifetime Oscar for watching all those damn movies. It's taken a lifetime.
Achievement Award.
And your name is?
Dave Gray.
Dave Gray and
Donna Gray.
And Donna Gray. The Grays, ladies and gentlemen. If you need an Oscar, an Emmy, People's Choice. Have you got a People's Choice?
Sure.
Anything you want.
See that? I wouldn't mind having a People's Choice, and I'm never going to get one legitimately because I'm not the type to People's Choice.
Where do you want us to send it?
To, I don't know. Send it to someone who deserves it, I suppose. I don't know. Who always wins those People's Choice Awards? Justin Bieber. Huh? No, he's not. I have been married Michael Feldman. This is like a letter. I never had one. I've been married 16 years now. For the most of those, my husband has always wanted to see your show. Can you tell Ruben, my husband, where is the happy couple? Oh, they're in back there. Okay. Happy anniversary. You finally made it? Thanks. Or any shout out to Ruben Morales of Valparaiso, Indiana. Ruben Morales, ladies and gentlemen, Valparaiso. 16 years, holy cow. That puts 55 in the dust, I think. Oh, this is a late-breaking card here. Happy 60th birthday for a longtime friend, Rich Bogalski. Oh, that's Rich right here. How about that? He's right in the room. Okay, I got to do the shout-out thing, and I'll get back to you, Rich. Hang on to those 60 years there for a second. Okay. We're doing good here so far, aren't we? Can you feel it in the audience? It's building. It's going to be a crescendo before we know it. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. So 16 years?
Yep, we just had 16 years a few weeks ago.
How'd that go? What did he do for you?
It took me to the casino.
What a nice thought, that one. But did he give you the money?
We were eight than anything. But he gave me some money to play a little bit. I'd never been to a casino before.
Oh, really?
Did you give you four quarters to play the machines, or what?
It was $1.
Holy cow! I'm beginning to see the problem here. You had $1 to play the casino. Why be on $1? Did you win anything?
I did, but I put it right back in.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
$1, $100, $1,000, same thing. Goes right back in.
True, it did.
We have casinos, otherwise we wouldn't have casinos. Which casino was it?
Blue Chip Casino, Michigan City, Indiana.
Place to go?
I guess so.
Did you have a good time? Did you play there?
Well, I don't gamble, so we just wanted to go check it out.
So you don't gamble, so you thought you'd go to a casino. Now, you should call me before you do any planning at all.
First time, just to see it.
What, was Wayne Newton playing there or anything?
No, it was actually because the restaurant gets a lot of raves, and everybody talks about it back where we live, and I wanted to go to the restaurant, so he took me. Yeah.
And was it worth it? Was it good?
Oh, yes. It was definitely worth it.
Yeah. And so what'd you get, for example?
Prime rib. Steak. I mean, they shrimp.
Everything.
Yeah.
All that and $1 to spend as you please on the casino floor.
Well, he also gave me some Pandora stuff, so it worked out.
Pandora is a bracelet company.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds. Well, let's give him something more, though, shall we?
Sure.
They need a little something.
A little pick me up.
Yeah.
Well, there are wines from the award-winning Wollersheim Winery.
Do you drink wine?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, let's do that then.
They don't gamble. I don't know if they drink. Okay. It's hard to say.
Well, we can send them home with Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumé, both from Wollersheim.
Them?
Yeah. Cheers.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And what about for our trophy people? 55 years, doesn't that deserve something?
Well, there's actually something that might be perfect. It's a book. It's called Finding Your Perfect Soulmate or Business Partner, in this case, both. Learn more about yourself and others through the science of numbers.
Yeah, give him a bottle of wine.
Okay.
Nice to meet you. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming as well. Does Bigfoot really exist? Okay, I don't. Can't really answer that one. Anyone a Bigfoot fan here? Huh? Yeti? Is there a Yeti in the house?
I'm Eddie.
Okay. A Yenta? Is there a Yenta in the house? How do you find love when you work 12-hour days, 2 weeks at a time? How do you find love when you work 12-hour days, 2 weeks at a time? This is unsigned. How can I help you if you're not going to sign your cards? Are you a nurse then?
No, I'm referring to my son.
Oh. Is he a nurse then?
He laments that he doesn't have time.
Well, all right. I got to hear the lament. He's lamenting, apparently.
I have this great book for him called Finding Your Perfect Soulmate.
Where is he yet? Where are they? Huh? Oh, there. Okay, right there. Can I get you to stand up there? Is this the son that we're talking about here? Okay. He doesn't look too happy about this. We're going to tread gingerly on this whole thing, but were you actually lamenting?
No, I'm having a good time.
Where do you get this lamenting from?
Well, because he complains that he probably won't be able to provide us with grandchildren in time.
I'm going to just leave the role right now. Wish you the best in everything, because I don't really want to get into the details on that. But congratulations, you're going to.
Thank you.
What do you do?
January 28th.
Yeah. Wow. You got down to the day? What time of day, do you know?
We were hoping you could tell us.
Yeah. No, I'm not that good. I didn't know we were pregnant until it happened. Long after, actually, to tell you the truth, because I wasn't informed. My wife is very funny about what she tells me and what she doesn't. Our marriage has been on a need-to-know basis, and I don't need to know. But congratulations, and okay. And you are?
Stephanie Stegeman.
Alex.
Also Stegeman?
Also Stegeman.
Stegeman, okay. The Stegemans. We can't give them wine, though.
No, we can't.
All right, come back on the 29th, we'll give you wine. That's how are we doing here time-wise?
You have plenty of time.
Oh, I do. Yeah. You think so, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure. How many people think the Washington Redskins are from Washington State? Nobody thinks that. Why would they? Michelle Australia, is that your name?
It's me.
Are you Michelle Australia?
Australia.
Oh, you're from Australia?
Yes.
Well, that's not, actually your surname is not.
Surname is Bentley.
Okay, can I just stand up, Michelle Australia? I'm sorry, Bentley.
Bentley, yes, Michelle Bentley.
And are you from all of Australia or just a part of it?
Just a little part, right out in the middle of New South Wales.
New South Wales?
Yes, the town's called Ardlethan. It has 400 people when everybody's home. On football Saturday, the population's probably half that.
Really?
Yes, they all leave and go to another town.
They do. And are you a football fan yourself?
No, I'm not. I enjoy the peace and quiet when they all leave.
Have you thought of relocating then from maybe some...
No.
Sydney or someplace or
I
Melbourne?
I was born and raised in Sydney.
Yeah.
And it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there anymore.
No. Well, how'd you end up in New South Wales there?
I married a farmer.
You did?
Yes, it's a farm area. It's okay. A bit like Kansas, wheat and sheep.
Did you know you'd have to live on the farm once you married a farmer?
Yes, I did. I've now moved into town.
You have?
Yes.
Okay. Is he still there on the farm?
No, he's moved to Adelaide.
He's moved to Adelaide?
Yes. We split up.
Well, who's this with you here, then?
That's my cousin.
Okay, it's your cousin. Sure it is.
Another funny story. His mother and my mother are sisters. She was a war bride, my aunt, his mum, and she came here in 1947, married a, was it Army?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in the U.S. Army, and she met him in Sydney. And then in 1947, she packed up and came over on the ship full of young women who were to become war brides, and they settled in Milwaukee.
Oh, that's where I'm from.
Yes, your hometown.
Her name wasn't Feldman, was it?
No, it was Veronica Kenny.
Veronica Kenny, wasn't it?
It's a very Irish name.
Is there still family in Milwaukee?
My first cousin, Carrie.
Oh, are you in Milwaukee?
Yes, I am. Well, I'm Tulsa.
You sound just like one of us.
Yeah.
Pretty good imitation of a guy from around here. Yes. And are you just in town and visiting?
I came over for Christmas.
You know it's past, though.
Yes, I'm going home next week.
You're not staying for next Christmas as well, are you?
No. Okay. No. I thought I'd better go back and water the garden before it all dies.
Yeah. And on what kind of farming is your farm?
I'm now living in town. I've retired.
Oh, you said that.
It was wheat and sheep.
Wheat and sheep?
Yes.
Didn't the sheep get in the wheat? And
yes. And then they get sick.
Some of the wheat got in the sheep, too.
Yes, and then they get very sick if they get into the wheat.
They do?
Yes. They can't handle the fresh grain.
Oh, I'm the same way. You can take a pill for that.
Stick to oats, then.
Well, it's very nice to meet you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Bentley.
Thank you. Yes.
We got something nice for you. Let's give her a little something to take back.
Okay. How about
a bottle of wine?
Do we have any left?
Sure.
A bottle of wine. That sounds great.
It's a whole winery. How can you have any?
Domaine de Sac from Moleschine Winery.
Do you drink
good.
Wine?
Yes, I do.
Good.
Do a little cousin thing, have a little wine. Very nice to meet you. All right, we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here, basically. That's why it's tax deductible. Your ticket is tax deductible, because it's actually considered to be educational. Before we have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz. To that effect, here we have the mother of our brewer here. And you are?
Jerry Troya.
And are you from town? Or?
I'm from Madison.
You are, okay. Would you do the honors, please, and give this to you, and you just read that.
The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, recreational pot? What will they think of next? Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio. Its member stations are lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very well done. Okay, keep that. That's good for one beer. All right, there's a chance for you to play the What Do You Know quiz. That's what we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, the general knowledge quiz, not trivia. So a lot of you probably think you could do that. And I guess you're the first to indicate any interest whatsoever. So can you... Yes, yes, very good, very good. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Hi, how are you?
I'm well, yourself?
I'm good, thank you. So you think a quiz thing is for you?
I think so.
Have you done other quiz things?
Well, not on the radio.
Radio, but...
No. I like doing quizzes. I like trivia and all that.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Not trivia, I think I said that.
No, you did say a quiz, yeah. So...
You know, general knowledge.
Yeah.
Are you still okay with that?
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Your name is?
Rusty.
Rusty, you gotta give me one good reason why you would like to play this quiz.
Because if you knew how bad the roads were in Sheboygan County yesterday and how to get here, yeah. I think I deserve to play the quiz.
Sheboygan County roads. Well, you're right by the lake there, right? So then you get that lake effect. You get a lot of lake effect in Sheboygan.
Well,
County.
Not the lake effect, at no. least last night.
No.
I mean, it was just...
It's more like the ice effect.
Oh, yeah. Just rained and then very quickly got to ice.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? That's called weather. I don't know if you
it
have
is.
That.
It
usually
is.
In Sheboygan, it maybe skips you. Rusty. So what do you do in life as we know it, Rusty?
I am actually a news reporter for the commercial radio stations in Sheboygan.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have to go out and stand out there in the weather and, you know,
No, the worst. It? The only time that I've actually had to be outside was for Black Friday this year.
Oh.
So.
Where do you go there in Sheboygan for?
Well, actually, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
You know,
Walmart
you get up. Well, because they were open up Thanksgiving night, they weren't too busy. I think the busiest place was really the Fleet Farm and the Menards.
Wait, is that where you station yourself, Fleet Farm?
Well, I went all around the county, checked out a few of the big box stores. And
did you get lucky? Was there a fist fight or something?
No. People were very orderly.
Yeah.
So
well, Sheboygan County is pretty nice.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
did you break some story, though, that it's kind of hard to get a decent story, right, isn't it? Covering Black Friday.
Well, basically, you just call them in and say how things were, and basically you said, well, things aren't too busy here, or people are lined up here, or people wanted their...
Oh, God, I'm sorry I missed that. Sorry I missed that.
Yeah, well, that happens.
That's good. Okay. Well, that's good. Nice to have you here, Rusty. And are you here in town visiting, or...?
Just here for the show.
You came for the show on
yes.
those roads?
Yes.
Give me five. Rusty! As far as I'm concerned, you won already, Rusty. Very good. You know how this works, general knowledge sort of quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some beer here if you want some, too. I'll get you another cup if you want it. It's very good, by the way. This is Mobcraft, my personal brand. Okay. Let's see. And then how does it work then? Some at home, and then they... And then what happens?
Yes, if people want to play the quiz, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-WHA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Can I get one of them relationship books you keep talking about?
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Does it work if you're alone?
I don't know. I've never read it.
Oh.
Do I look like I need advice?
I don't think that was the implication. Might have been. I don't know. I never know. Got me cornered. All right, here it is. The most accurate measurement of the universe so far concludes what? About the they've measured it to within 1% of the universe, apparently. And they concluded what? This is in the news. You should probably have seen this, maybe. Okay, or if you listen to NPR, you got to know this one. The universe, how big is it? What did they conclude in this latest survey of the universe? Let's go to the phones right now. Sean's on the line from Fairmont, West Virginia. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. How's your weather out there?
It's rainy. It's warmed up a little bit, but yeah. Rainy.
Yeah, you getting ice too?
We did last week. It was pretty nasty.
Yeah. Are you in a hill or a holler?
Yeah, we're on a hill.
Yeah.
And there's hollers around too.
Yeah, well, there's got to be if there's hills.
That's right. That's right.
Not much choice. For every hill, a holler. That's my motto. If I ever campaign out there, I'm going to say, for every hill, a holler. That's pretty big in West Virginia. Sean, they studied the universe and they measured it. And what did they conclude, this latest thing just in the news recently? About the size of the universe.
It's infinite.
Oh, you got it, Sean. Did you look that up real quick? You got a smartphone.
I just made a wild guess.
We're going to confiscate your smartphone, Sean. You don't need that thing.
Right.
You got a landline, don't you?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Just like a digital phone, yeah.
Okay, all right. Sean, this is Rusty.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, Rusty.
Rusty.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Very good, thanks.
Guys are so chatty. When did that happen? Sean and Rusty, you are a team right now. Rusty's a newsman, and and what do you do out there, Sean?
I own a business. I sell electronic cigarettes.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
All right. So two of you work as a team, mm-hmm. and then you're both, and then there you go.
Yeah, and right? There are categories from which to choose.
There are? Still?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
what are those then?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, let's make radio. Sean, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Which species actually ages backwards? Is it the Benjamin Button clam, the Benjamin Button slime mold, or the Benjamin Button jellyfish? Hmm. Probably in the news up there in Sheboygan County.
Yeah, a lot of clams up there.
Sorry, that was my beer bottle.
Any thoughts, Sean?
Talk it over.
No, I mean, they all sound kind of goofy, so I don't know. I'll let you pick.
Oh, my goodness. We had the clam, we had the jellyfish, and the...
And the slime mold.
The slime mold.
Actually, ages. This species actually found to age backwards and go back to a little version of itself. And then I don't know if it starts all over again. I wouldn't care for that.
Maybe the mold. Maybe the slime mold.
You know, I was sort of leaning that way, too, so...
Oh, I'm sorry. You're leaning towards the slime mold for nothing, because it's the jellyfish.
Well... Now you know.
The Teratopsis, darn it. Darn it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you'll get back.
Yep.
That would just...
That is zero right and one wrong.
Okay. So
that's
what's
terrible.
Left there? What's left? No, come on, Sean.
The categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
Okay. Rusty?
I guess as a newsman, I got to go current events.
You don't have to.
Well, I think I'd be good at
Break
it.
Break the mold. What scientific
mold.
Oh, now you speak up, huh, Sean? What scientific calculation do dogs make when pooping?
Oh, I know this.
I know this too.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to give you choices just in case you don't know this?
Oh, all right.
Okay, is it A, wind direction, B, magnetic poles of the earth, or C, is anyone watching?
I believe it's the magnetic pole.
Yes, you are right.
Magnetic. They line themselves with magnetic poles. Otherwise, they get constipated. I don't understand it at all.
Right and one wrong.
My puggle, I think, is pretty random. I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen any pattern at all. Okay.
So one right, one wrong. And good. The categories remaining are people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Okay. John?
People.
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
I'm telling.
Okay. Having
is
a
that
sister.
A category?
Yes. Having a sister. This is the having a sister question. Okay. This, for a male. Having a sister makes a male one of the following. Does it make him either more supportive of gender equality, liberal, and likely to do housework, or does it make him less supportive of gender equality, conservative, and less likely to do housework? A male having a sister.
Huh. Well,
does it make him all good or all bad?
I'm just trying to think. I have three sisters of my own, so yeah. What did that turn me into here?
I don't know. You best could answer that, I guess.
I guess so.
Seemed like a nice guy.
Well, thank you. I don't know. I guess for myself, I turned out a bit more liberal than conservative.
But are you typical, Rusty?
Well, depends on who you ask.
Okay.
So.
Right. Maybe they tend to rebel against all that feminism that they grew up with.
Do you have a sister, Sean?
I do. I have a sister.
Okay.
And a brother.
And you tend to think that it makes you, did it make you less supportive of gender equality, conservative, and less likely to do housework, do you think?
Well, I don't think all those are mutually exclusive, but I'm kind of leaning that way.
That's kind of tough because I'm leaning the other way here, so we're kind
of
split.
You know, we'll have to split the sister, I guess. That sounds terrible. I am sorry I said that. I didn't mean that. That's the sense of the word.
Oh.
Yes.
What?
So what do you think, Michael?
I never had a sister. Three brothers. So
you poor thing.
Can't even say. Worked out okay.
Well, I guess. I guess you chose the category, Sean. So I think it'd be best to go with what you said.
With what you are.
Yeah.
So less supportive of gender equality, conservative, and less likely to do housework. You think, Sean?
I do, yes.
Yes, that's it. You know, that's just a study. Doesn't mean it's right. So, you know, parents might want to think about that. Have sisters or not, because it could affect them.
And, I'm glad I chose that right. It was all on my shoulders.
What's left there?
What's
the score? Yes.
Yeah, it's two right and one wrong.
Thank you.
And the categories left are places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Okay, there. Sean, is it back to you, Sean?
No, I did the last one.
Oh, you did the last one, did you? Yeah.
Places. Let's try places.
Places it is. Okay. Always done news? You done any of this radio stuff? Or?
Previous,
radio or TV?
Radio.
Yeah.
Previous job, it was news, DJ, production,
DJ.
All that.
Oh,
so.
DJ, come on. What'd you do? What'd you play?
Country music.
Country music.
So, from the 50s to today.
Do you have a country voice, radio voice as well?
You know, I always say that I don't have a...
You have a rusty voice.
Well, that's about as good as it's going to get.
You don't do a country little...
No, I just keep it like this.
Okay. Okay, cool. At the Petit Sirah Café in Nice, on the Côte d'Azur... Don't you laugh at my French. I'm doing the best I can. What determines whether your un café is €7 or €1.40? There's two different prices for un café, which means one coffee. Is it A, your accent? B, if you're English or not? Or C, saying bonjour or s'il vous plaît when you order? Difference in price.
Wow. Well, I know the French don't typically like the English, and the English don't typically like the French.
Nah, let's not be typical.
Well, any thoughts, Sean?
No, could you read them one more time?
Oh, that's too hard. All right, if you go to this cafe in Nice, you either pay €7 or €1.40, hard to say, €1.40 for a coffee. And I want to know what the reason is. Is it based on your accent, or if you're English, or if you're being polite, if you're saying bonjour and s'il vous plaît? It's a lot more complicated than we usually are on this show. But I'm making radio.
Now, I wonder if they would have, you know, a specific policy against English or foreigner.
That would be illegal, I think, really, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
They have hate crimes in France. That would be a hate crime, I think.
I would think, yeah, like as institutional policy.
Yeah.
So I would maybe lean towards the politeness.
Oh.
What do you think, Rusty?
Well, it could be, yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think of all three answers here. And
you are, but you can't think of all three. You got to think of one.
It's only the one, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, let's go with the politeness. I think politeness.
Yes, if you say bonjour, s'il vous plaît, you get a break on your... A big break.
Yeah.
Holy cow, they won!
Rusty, now that you've won the quiz, you can continue to broaden your mental horizons with two Wonder Word puzzle books, a Puzzle Society crossword book, and a subscription to the Puzzle Society online from Universal UClick. And Sean, start your days with What Do You Know audience enthusiasm, drinking Stephen Brew's breakfast blend, and relax with rich and tasty Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And each of you can smell of sweet clover, pink clay, and sharp cheddar with a bar of handmade What Do You Smell soap from the Screaming Porch Gift Company. Really? And be a hit at your next... Oh, I can never say this word. Be a hit at your next numismatic convention.
Coins,
I think. Oh. Numismatic convention with the rare silver jubilee anniversary quarter commemorating more than 25 years
lately
of peerless radio comedy.
Stamps.
Congratulations to you both.
Well, thank you.
Come on, Rusty here. You know Rusty. Thanks, Rusty. Nice job. Sean, hang on for a second. We'll get an address from you. Thanks for playing.
Take What Do You Know
All
with
right,
you,
thank you very much.
With NotMuch.com mobile. You can play the online quiz, listen to the archives, and purchase tickets all on the fly. Just bookmark NotMuch.com on your smartphone or tablet.
We have plenty of time left, so can I make a little plug for myself?
Yeah.
March 9th, Jeff and I and a drummer, Brian Ritter, are playing a little concert here in Madison at the Brink Lounge, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Here in town?
Here in Madison, yeah.
You got a job finally, huh?
One that I could promote, yeah.
Cool.
So March
9th. That's it for the decade, though, right? It's starting off like...
Starting off good for 2014. Yeah.
Very cool.
And I slept on your couch one time, years ago.
What's got to do with anything?
Nothing.
Okay.
I don't... Oh, Jeff is at Andy's Jazz Club in Chicago tonight, too.
Stop self-promoting now.
Okay, that's not me. That's Jeff. I'm not
I know, but okay. You're promoting his...
This is a tune there's more self-promoting. This is a tune I wrote, too.
Oh.
It's called The Walk.
The what?
Not the like W-O-K? Cooking walk.
No.
W-A-L-K.
All right.
Although it could be the other one too.
Yeah. Okay, here they are now.
Thank you.
produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Oh, come on! That's all
right. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulian on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's 99% invisible host Roman Mars. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who remembers when digital access meant trying to reach your feet, it's Michael Feldman.
Sorry. I carried away. So that was a very nice tune there before the break. What was that song?
Called The Walk.
Oh, that was yours. That's right.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Did you get that copyrighted or trademarked or whatever you do?
Once I perform it, it's copyrighted.
Automatic?
More or less, yeah. You know, these days with all the digital stuff and a lot of the copyright laws are set to expire, so it's just a mishmash of hazy law and...
Have you been talking to a lawyer in a bar? This makes no sense.
No, that's pretty much the sum total of my talk with lawyers over the years. It's like, I don't understand what they're talking about.
Okay. So. Good. Well, I'm glad we had this chat. Well, you know, each week at this time, we have actual memos sent in by actual listeners. See, because we have actual listeners. And here's the one here, then. It says above it, the following message was sent to me by a homeschool parent explaining she and her family would be unable to attend our morning homeschool morning cooperative meeting. It has provided me with ongoing entertainment ever since. And this is the actual memo sent on this occasion. Well, we found out our rescue chihuahua has been in town the whole time he's been gone. We know where he is hiding out, but we just can't seem to catch him. I came close tonight, within 5 feet, but he's quick. And after a long run around the neighborhood, I'm exhausted, and he got away again. Everyone in the area where he's hiding out is feeding him hamburger, cereal, toast, whatever they have. He does not want to come back now. I think it's time to set a trap. Does anyone have a squirrel or small animal trap that we can use? That's the only way we're going to catch him. Thank you very much for that very disturbing memo about the escaped... rescue chihuahua. That's it. What more can you say after that? Are there rescue chihuahuas? I don't think so. Are there? What would they do? Save the silverware. One spoon at a time. Okay.
So
how are you then? Pretty good?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're just back from Amsterdam?
New York.
Yeah. And you say it was warm in Amsterdam.
It was. It was sunny and beautiful.
They don't have polar vortexes?
Well, they didn't while I was there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Okay. And then where can they send all this stuff that they want to send in?
People who want to send in memos go to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, put the subject line memos in there, and they can also go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We've got Roman Mars coming up now. He does a show that's called 99% Invisible. And judging by his headshot here, he is 99% invisible as well. We just see a beard. And a nicely trimmed beard at that. I must say he's on the phone with us now from Berkeley, Roman Mars. With us. Hey, Roman, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Fine. Does the Mars clan originate out there on the West Coast or elsewhere?
We kind of moved around a lot. I think I claim Ohio as our home.
You do? You claim it?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it true or you just claim it?
Well, I mean, I spent there the longest growing up, but my sister and I now we live across the street from each other in Berkeley, California now.
So. Well, how cool.
Yeah.
And it says here, Roman Mars makes radio, so I've been trying to do that now, too. I'm trying to relook at the way I do radio. I just do it, you know. But you do make it because you do. It's yours is extremely well-produced, and we've never done that here. I have a producer, but it's just window dressing. He's dressing in the window right now. You can see him. Tell us about the 99% Invisible. What the idea? Where'd you get the idea for it?
Well, it's a radio program about architecture and design, and it sort of started locally here on San Francisco Public Radio Station KALW, and a full project of the AIA, the American Institute of Architects in San Francisco. Yeah. And it started as this idea to tell the background story of buildings and the built world here in the Bay Area, but it expanded kind of quickly to include the rest of the world and all kinds of design detail.
Yeah. Are you an architect yourself or in design?
Not at all.
No?
I've really been a radio producer for the longest, for the past 13 years or so. And it just was a beat that was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is made possible through Kickstarter. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I started just going and sort of not getting paid all that much to do it. And it started to gain a bit of an audience. And I was trying to figure out how to pay everybody and keep doing the show. And so we, in the third season, we turned to Kickstarter and did really well. And then we did it again.
Oh, cool. That's a great idea, making the audience pay.
Yeah, I agree.
Here we got to wait for, donations and things like that. They cough up quite a bit of money just to keep your show on there. That's the way it should be, I think.
Yeah, well, it's really just I learned the technique from doing pledge drives on public radio. It's really not all that different. It's just widen the amount of people giving to the entire world, and Kickstarter is a really compelling platform for people to give. Because you have this threshold effect that you don't get any of the money unless you get all the money that you need.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it really psychologically kind of flips the switch in people, and it becomes like a little game. And so we did really well with it.
Yeah. And what you do is really unique, I think. The best beer in the world. That was like the Trappist beers. You're looking for Trappist beers? And
right. You would take sort of any sort of built world, like human-made thing, and put a design lens on. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, I was really interested in, this is the reporter Bruce Barabar was out there, and he loves beer, and would like to go around and have an excuse to visit Trappist beer places. and I was just really interested in the idea that they didn't have any sort of customer service to speak of, but they had this most popular bill, beer. And I like to sort of think about what goes in behind each decision.
Mm-hmm. And what is it with Trappist monks making beer? I mean, is there something in the Bible that allows that? Or?
Well, it's kind of, they have an edict that they have to be self-sufficient. So they make beer to support their monastery. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of, there's several of them do ales and beers, and some do lentil soup. But their whole idea is that they're self-sufficient and it serves their purpose to be closer to God.
And you can bet there's some beer in that lentil broth. There's no way there isn't. Yeah, and Christian Brothers, they've done really well for themselves out there. So it's the same sort of thing, I guess. And then I like this thing we do, the sounds of the artificial world, and this thing on the, we have a little clip here, if you don't mind us playing it, from the accidental music of imperfect escalators, which I really think is a cool idea. Explain a minute the thinking behind that.
The idea of the imperfect escalators is there was a jazz critic or a music critic at the Washington Post named Chris Richards, who began to classify all the creaking, skronking escalators in the D.C. metro system as different forms of jazz. And it was kind of just a way of coping with the fact that these things are horribly broken and neglected. But they sort of gave people a little bit of joy once he began to think of them in this way.
And as a musician, he could appreciate exactly what they were doing musically.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
That's cool. Can we play that clip right now? This is from that.
It sounds like music. And like any good music critic, Chris started classifying the different styles of metro escalator. So here at Farragut North, the escalators might sound like
whales mating or something like that.
Whereas the escalator at U Street
kind of sounded like Indian drone music.
And at Columbia Heights,
an aviary of chrome-throated ravens taunting you as you descend into your workday.
Yeah.
It sounds.
So that would drive you nuts. Yet there's a deep beauty to it.
Well, that's the idea. Yeah. Normally it would, but it's once you sort of recast it and understand the story and maybe the joy it can bring you, mm-hmm. People engage with it in a different way. In fact, the one of the escalators, the whale moaning escalator, somebody put up a fake box that said, "Please enjoy our sort of our escalator, which is tuned to whales, whale song to it. Make your day a little bit better." And in a way that sort of the people were just engaged with it in a different way. And I kind of like the way people interact with the built world and how they can control of it.
And is that part of your thinking, too, in terms of design? It's also the unintended consequences of design. That interests you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's like that's hugely important to me. The intended consequences. In fact, the best design is often invisible to people. Mm-hmm. And so sort of highlighting it, recognizing the genius and things is a nice way to look at the world.
Yeah. Well, as far as the sounds of the artificial world, what other sounds have you captured in this quest? Artificial sounds.
I mean, strangely, I don't do a ton about sound necessarily. Yeah. I mainly do the stories of buildings. But I do like the sounds of the artificial world. Sometimes I had somebody talking about the sound of the unlocking of an iPhone, which has a real great kind of click and a spring. It has a real mechanical feel to it. And it's just one of the things that makes this kind of pretty inert piece of glass and metal feel like a mechanical object. Mm-hmm. And these are really compelling things to us psychologically, but we just don't really notice how they're working most of the time.
Yeah. I like this one on Samuel Plimsoll.
Yeah.
He's the man responsible for that circle with a line through it on the hulls of ships.
Yeah. That was really meaningful to me, too, because it's a very simple idea, the circle with a line through it. But and I think it's beautiful in its own, in a little design way. Mm-hmm. But it's also really important in terms of just how many lives it saved when the sort of merchant seamen were being, actually just the lives weren't really regarded very well because insurance would make it so that it was sort of profitable to sink your ships and overload them. And so he, instituted some laws to make it so that you had to have this punchal line displayed so that people can leave port with an overloaded ship.
So that's what that line tells you. If it's over that, if it's covered, then it's overloaded?
Yes, exactly.
Ah, Plimsoll. And did you learn a lot about the man himself, Plimsoll?
Not especially. I mean, I know that despite of his, he was really, really, he was really moved by a particular ship sinking and wrote a lot, wrote a large tract called Our Seaman. And it was all about the plight of the merchant seaman. And he was just a really dedicated MP.
Mm-hmm. The Arsenal of Exclusion. Tell us about that one. That's interesting.
These are about the sort of things that were built into the environment to divide populations. So they're...
To divide populations.
Yeah. So there's bollards on streets. If you live in especially in Baltimore, where this story took place, mm-hmm. There's a group there that was sort of cataloging all these different ways in which the community was divided, black and white, rich and poor. Some of them are large streets that are these arterial streets that make it so that they don't have a lot of crosswalk. So, a whole section will be in these grid lights structures, which have a lot of pass-throughs, and a lot of them have more curvilinear streets, which are kind of harder to find out if you jump you out into the pass by the whole neighborhood. So there's all sorts of ways that the built environment has been made to sort of cluster people and have people not be, find their way in. Get lost when they get in, or get shunted out if they ever make it in there.
Yeah, and this is all intentional to keep rich neighborhoods separate from poorer neighborhoods and so forth.
Absolutely intentional. And the legacy of that, of those voices sort of continues today, even when parts of them break down a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Baltimore where they paint their window screens, too?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's... Isn't anyone here from Baltimore? They actually put paintings on their window screens for some reason. Okay, never mind. It's probably not true. So there's so much stuff. And do people come to you with ideas? I bet they do now about design ideas. Totally.
Yeah. No, I get emails every single day about something interesting or cool in their life that they want me to do a story about. Often I find it requested because they want to explore a thing they already know all about. Mm-hmm. I think it's comforting about somebody doing a story that you already...
Hello?
That's it.
His battery finally went. I think we were speaking of design, Brian. Roman Mars, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. 99% invisible, 100% invisible presently. Okay, did we lose him entirely? Was that the battery that was going the whole time?
I'm here.
Oh, you're still there? You're cutting out a lot on us, and so I don't know if it's your... Can you hang your head out the window or something? Are you still there? Okay. What?
Can you hear me now?
That's much better. Let's start it all over again. Roman Mars has a show called 99% Invisible. I think we're still having problems with that. Your own love of design, or just interest in design, you never pursued that as a career, however.
No, I was really just... I'm interested in radio and telling interesting stories on the radio, and this is a good thing to talk about.
Yeah. And was Ira Glass an inspiration for you as far as doing that, the style of doing it and so forth?
Oh, sure. I mean, he sort of changed the game for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I got into radio actually because I listened to a ton of it, and one of my favorite shows was Popular Nation when Ray Suarez was on.
Sure.
And there was this episode back when Bill Clinton was president with this quaint little subject of who is the hero if, you know, the president isn't a hero.
Yeah.
And I was excited for Monica Lewinsky, so everyone was upset with the president. And somebody called in and said, you know what, Ray Suarez, you're my hero. And I was listening at work, and I was like, you know what, Ray Suarez is my hero, too. And I just sort of made it my mission to work in public radio after that.
Well, I know I've drawn a lot of people into the field as well. A lot of Michael Feldman wannabes out there. Actually, I don't think I have one yet so far. I had a kid years ago, and we did What Do You Know? We did a kid version of What Do You Know, and there was a kid who was just done very well at his bar mitzvah, doing the speech and the mofter and all that stuff, and thought he could do my job. But it's not quite the same thing as being drawn into radio by Feldman-esque sort of thing. Tell us about the 99% invisible. What does that mean?
The idea of the name was I was trying to think of something in design that unified, you know, architects, product designers, graphic designers, and the thing that was this idea that the process of design is mainly invisible, even when the object is this giant thing. The most of the work that went into it and the design thought is 99% invisible.
So you don't... the thought behind it is not there, but it's intrinsic though, right?
Like, it's intrinsic. I mean, the whole story, the whole thing about it, like if you looked at any object, it's only 1% of what it really is. It's all the thought that goes into it.
Yeah. So that's true of a pyramid or an airport or anything else that you look at.
Exactly. Yeah.
Doorknobs and latches, that sort of thing. Those things always annoyed me because they're never thought out properly.
Yeah, well, the thing is about design is that you notice the really bad ones and you don't notice the really good ones, and that's, you know, on purpose. And so a lot of what I think of as my job is to do stories where you do notice the good ones.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
But I got a lot to say about door latches, so I guess I'll hold off on that. I just think push or pull should be universal. I think they should make a law, and it should be enforced, that doors are, you either push them to get in or you pull them to get in, but not either one, you know, because then you look like a fool too often in your life.
But they shouldn't, I mean, they should be designed well so that they feel intuitive. Yeah. There's nothing worse than a pull latch where you have to push. That's really bad.
Yeah. But what's more intuitive, to push a door to go through it or to pull a door?
You know, I don't really know.
Push? Okay, there it is. Push doors. From now on, okay. No pull doors.
He'll never get out of anywhere.
But you have to pull it from the other side.
Oh. That's a good point, too. I guess. I mean, I guess when entering, I'm thinking about here. This thing on check cashing stores was funny.
Yeah. Well, I was
and not so funny.
Idea.
Yeah.
This reporter, Doug Gray, who I know here locally, he did this story about check cashing stores. And what I was most interested in was the ideas of what made check cashing stores work. You know, like for a lot of us who are used to banks, check cashing stores seem weird because they kind of are modeled more after a corner store or a bodega. They have linoleum floors. They have bright lighting. They have these, you know, menu of options.
Yeah, so you've been in them, is what you're saying.
Yeah, sure. but you're kind of, they're sort of meant for a different thing. And there's something about a bank that even though if you've been raised to go to banks, they're used to them. But if you haven't been and really been engaged in the sort of financial world, they're very, very confusing. There's no menu of options. There's no, you have to ask someone what you want. They're pretty intimidating. And there's some things about check cashing stores, even on the surface, they don't work for a lot of people who are used to banks. They really work well for the audience they're trying to serve. They're trying to serve people who are coming off of work, who are mistrustful of banks, because they've done some hidden fee thing that cost them something at some point. And even though the fees are often exorbitant and, you know, they're probably not ideal, they're upfront and clear. And they have a menu of options. And they are printed right on the wall. And so I was really interested in that idea of what you could learn from these things and what was actually sort of confusing and upsetting about a regular bank for a lot of people.
So the implication would be to make a bank more like a check cashing store?
I think that you could make different types of banks, and you could make them more clear. You could put up a menu of options, and you had to sort of navigate this booklet of what the fees are and how it's all going to work.
Yeah, yeah. Do you ever look at Apple stores and why they work like they do? That's kind of a...
I never have really... I mean, one of the things that I like to focus on is not the sort of pretty and glossy thing.
Yeah.
And those are definitely the prettiest and glossiest thing.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I find Apple stores kind of perplexing, even though I tend to buy a lot of stuff from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like going to a counter. I feel weird walking up to a person and buying something from them who's like free floating in the store.
I find the whole Genius thing a little upsetting.
just going up to someone and
yeah, the whole Genius, the Genius guy, you know. Or the Genius bar, on the, you know. To me, yeah. it was always a pejorative, you know. So what do you think, Genius? You know. So it has a counter. It's counterproductive to call, you know, anything Genius like that. So you'd rather go to a check cashing store than an Apple store, is what you say?
Well, I think there's some degree of comfort with a check cashing store. At least you know who you have to go to, which is the counter with the person standing behind it. Maybe behind bulletproof glass, but still, you know where to go. Whereas I don't want to have necessarily a social interaction every time I go to a store. And it's actually like you're going up to a stranger when you have to buy something at the Apple store. At least the one around here, there's a person that you just buy from who's floating around the store. And I find that very odd.
Yeah. And Costco, there's another one.
At Costco, I can't handle.
No. I don't belong. They threw me out last time. I walked in. I had some time before I had a medical exam. So I walked into the Costco and they said, "Hi, can I help you?" And I said, "No, I'm just, do you have your Costco?" I didn't know you had to belong even to come go to a Costco, you know, so it's a whole different thing, you know. And he said, "Well, you can look around, but you can't buy anything." That's an unusual story right there, you know, right on the, so that'd be worth examining, I think. Roman, I want to thank you for your time. The show is the big hit right now on public radio, 99% Invisible, and I want to thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Nice talking to you. Roman Mars from Berkeley. 99% Invisible. Okay. All righty. Okay, there then. Well, then. Okay. What?
I didn't say
what
that.
Are you thinking?
Oh, no, I was thinking about that check cashing store.
Yeah.
Because I used to go to one of those when I first moved to Chicago. I didn't have a bank, and you go in. And they do charge, like, I don't know, 2 or 3%.
Do they?
But they take your driver's license, and then you can always go there and cash your paycheck.
Very nice.
Yeah. Exciting.
Good story.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Why don't you send that in to him? Maybe he can use that next time they do that.
Nice.
That's good. How are you, then? Pretty good?
Yeah, how are you? You pretty good?
Yeah, it was pretty cold down there in Chicago, I bet.
It's very cold and a lot of snow, yeah.
That Zephyr, and then you got the lake effect.
Oh,
and,
boy,
And then the
vortex. Snow effect. Yeah, the vortex.
You got the vortex, the Zephyr, and the lake.
That's a triple threat right
there. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's the end of the world.
It's the triple horseman.
Yeah. Was it even worse? How cold did it get down by you?
I think, I don't know about the wind chill. I think one night it was just 18 below, maybe 16
below.
That's
not bad.
Yeah, no, it's not bad.
Because you got the warm lake water.
I thought it was pretty bad.
No, we had 21 on my thermometer.
Yeah, 21
Anyone
below?
Beat 21?
Minus.
Yeah, just yell it out. What is it? What do you got?
-23.
23?
Yeah.
-23, beat that?
27.
27. Going at 27. What's 27? Where was your 27? Where were you? Wisconsin Rapids, anyone beat that, 27? That's the nation's icebox, Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, you know it's cold when the dogs just, they don't want to stop and sniff other dogs' pee. They just want to like boom, boom, boom. Let's walk around the block a couple times. Okay, we're on our way home now. Let's go.
My puggle was like that. It was like a dragon. I mean, she was trotting. She never does that. Pulling me through the damn pine. It's icy and stuff, and I'm trying to stay on my feet, and this thing is little thing is pulling me, you know. And there's snowbanks; people can't even see that I have a dog, you know. So they think there's some strange, crazy man toppling down.
Feldman again. Oh, he's weird.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. Now. I did.
Some
I got
kind
her
of neurological disease or something.
Like, It's covered though under Obamacare.
Yeah,
so I feel pretty good about that. But I got her a little sweater, though.
Did you? Oh, yeah.
Very nice. Do you have sweaters for your dog?
No. Somebody gave me a down thing one time, and I said, I can't do this to my dog.
Yeah.
The other dogs will laugh.
Oh, yeah. They're okay, though. They're pretty.
Yeah, they're labs, so they like it.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Now here, you got another song that you wrote?
It is another song that I
wrote.
Holy
cow.
Jeez, holy
cow. You're on a roll here.
Yeah.
You should get that, what do they call that, that money for nothing from people.
Huh? How do you sign up for that?
Yeah, you know, like you get, what do they call that, quick starter stuff.
So. Oh, yeah, quick start, yeah.
They could pay you to stop writing songs.
No, that's a government program.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, yeah, they could lie fallow. Song is lying fallow.
Yeah, song's lying fallow. Oh, that's the next album.
And this one here, tell us how this one came about.
I don't really remember. I've modified it a number of times. So.
Okay.
And I still don't have a title for it, so it'll be
you don't?
Called Song Number 3.
Okay, because then you got to copyright it under something.
It's even copyrighted.
Even though it is just for the doing of it. Okay. And Jeff Hammond on the bass.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Paul Seabar, did you have a tip for a derby?
Yeah, father.
Father. Okay, wait a second. Jeff was just, wait a second. I'll get, because Jeff was just in our little minute here talking about the derby's coming up, right? The, what's it called?
Pinewood.
The Pinewood Derby. And it so happens that Paul Seabar, who stayed here, despite the fact he doesn't have to be here after performing, your dad was involved. Were you in that, Pinewood?
My father, I think, cheated, but he was a elementary school teacher, and he had access to mercury. And so we drilled a hole in the Pinewood Derby car and inserted the mercury and then stuck it in with some kind of putty. And that somehow that mercury shifting as it came down the track gave it an edge.
Holy cow. Thank you, Paul Seabar. Little Pinewood Derby.
Now, for you youngsters out there, maybe that's not the best idea. Check with your dad before you actually try.
That's like doping your horse in other derbies. I don't know if you can really do that. Steve from Sun Prairie is here. Oh, he couldn't stay. Oh, there he is. Okay. He says, my dad once told me that frogs' butts are watertight. Is that true? I would think that would have to be true, don't you think, being a frog?
I've been curious all these years.
Yes. You never, well, I guess you wouldn't want to investigate that, but.
I tried in my younger years.
You tried to? Well. Yeah. Wouldn't everybody's butt be watertight, really? Have you tried that over the years?
No, but on the way in here, my friend Kathy and I had that discussion.
Yeah. Well, what a fascinating trip it must have been. Things to talk about in the car. Isn't penultimate the greatest, the bestest word? Sean Mulvihill.
Right here.
From right. Oh, hi. Here, stand up here. The bestest word?
Well, I was just trying to make fun of the hyperbole that goes around in the news and the weather and everything too.
So penultimate.
Penultimate is like everything, right?
No, it means the next to last, I think, doesn't it?
Well, is it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is it the next to last or the one before the next to last?
No, that's the.
I always thought it was the bestest. Huh? I always thought it was the bestest.
Yeah, that's the bestest. Penultimate. comes before the next to last one. I don't. It's next to last, isn't it? Yeah. Penultimate. Because for years I was using it wrong, and apparently you were too.
Correct it now.
Yeah. So there you go. But it's still the bestest, I think. Use it in your everyday conversation. Penultimate. Here's the guy then for the, who won the temperature here. That's Daniel Horgan from Wisconsin Rapids, right?
Yep.
Let's find out what, I'll just go up here, and if I get you to stand up, then we can meet at a certain juncture. How are you?
Good.
Okay, so you, 27?
27 below.
Below, on your own device?
Local temperature on the bank.
On the bank?
Yeah.
Are they accurate? You know their interests.
Yeah, maybe it was the interest rate.
Okay, and then what were you doing at that time?
Just driving to work.
Driving to work. Windows open and everything, because you're from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Now, anyone here who actually, we have guys in town here who wear their, UW shorts all winter long and ride their bikes in the ruts through the snow, anyone here do that? Keep their shorts on during the polar vortex? Okay, I know there are guys doing it. They're just not here right now. Okay, and how are you otherwise?
Good. Yeah. I used to shovel the driveway in January in my shorts and T-shirt.
See, I think you kind of look like that guy.
I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, nice to meet you. Daniel?
Thank you.
There you go. There is the record holder, as far as we know, 27 below in the vortex. I just want to go back to our beer fellow here. Giotto, Troia, right? Is that right? Can you just stand up for a second? Hold up your bottle of beer here, because it's kind of unusual. A young man like yourself has his own brewery.
Yeah. Where's that brewery located?
It's in his dorm.
East side of Madison, off Stoughton Road.
Yeah. So How'd you get, how'd that happen?
We realized during college that it was legal to buy all the ingredients for beer before you could buy beer. So
that's a tremendous discovery.
So we started brewing and making good batches, and then we did these things called brewathons, and people got interested. So we
Which
just
college was it?
UW Whitewater.
Cool. Yeah, well, that figures, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So now we're doing crowdsource batches. Everything that we make, like
sourcing again. See?
Yeah. Everything we make is, you know, your ideas, and we just, you know, put it up for a vote every month, and the most popular beer we make.
Yeah. And that's how you got this. What is this?
Chocolate banana stout.
Okay, I'll pass on. I'm still going to pass on that because if that comes back up, you don't want to see it.
Yeah. We've got a vanilla IBA, which is a black ale, coming up soon, and a hazelnut amber, too. So, I mean, these are all really good beers. Pretty much one.
The folks put up all the money for this brewery?
Was that all me? And
no, we didn't.
That was all you?
Yeah.
What a kid. So he's making beer in his dorm. He's making money out of it now. And it's called Mobcraft.
Mobcraftbeer.com.
Thank you. Mom is on this, too. It's really Mobcraft beer. We know that. Very nice. Well, that's very cool. Nice to meet you. He's still drinking it here, but we'll let him because we're that kind of show. Okay, we got PhD here today, T.C. Chung, Thomas T.C. Chung. There he is in back there. You're really too smart for the show. Are you at the right show? This is, you're really overqualified for this audience. I don't know. No, I'm trying to read your, you got your resume on this little index card here. It's kind of hard to read everything here. But you're from San Diego. And what exactly are your fields?
I manage a nonprofit group. I manage a genomic screening center for it.
Genomic?
Yeah, genomic screening center, chemical genomics.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's cool. Where do you get the sample from?
We get them from the NIH government, and we have about 370,000 compounds in various small little plates. I mean,
from the person, what part of the person does it come from?
Oh, no, we're testing compounds against tissues and targets that we put into test tubes.
So you don't need anything from me, personally?
If you're willing to donate, sure.
Well, I guess what I'm asking, if I were donating, where would it come out of?
Well, we are actively working with melanomas, melanoma cell lines, et cetera. So the Sanford Burnham started as a nonprofit cancer research institute, and it's broadened to other things like diabetes and metabolic diseases and Alzheimer's.
So if I get any sort of cancer, I should send you a slice?
You should talk to your doctor first.
I don't know. I'd rather not get the doctor involved. They're not going to help anyway, so put it in an envelope and I'll send it to you. Well, that's cool. And then this is all kinds of stuff here now.
Well, it's cold here. That's why I wanted to come. I want you to know that I extended my business trip specifically so I could come to the show.
Really?
Yeah.
This is kind of beneath you, though. I mean, we're not up to your
level. I've listened to your show ever since I heard it on radio. So.
Well, thank you. Can I get you to sign something to that effect?
Sure. If you,
I think we don't really get
sure,
the...
If you let me have a picture with you. Sure.
Okay, here. Get the picture. It's a video. It's a okay, is that good? Do you have to bring a camera?
No, okay. Yeah, I did, actually. We can do it after.
Okay, yeah. Thanks very much. TC, can I call you TC?
Sure, I go by TC, actually.
Okay. And what was the business trip for? The genomic thing?
We were at an NIH conference out here, sponsored by ProMega, which was, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Nice to meet you,
great,
TC.
Thanks.
Cool. PhDs like us, we must be all right. He's a smart guy, and he really likes the show. How can I convince my 14-year-old son to wear snow boots? Now, this is more my line. It's impossible, I think. Is the son here? That's him there? He's not going to. Are you going to wear snow boots?
No.
He's closed. That was a no in case you didn't hear it. Okay. There's no way. Right? Under. Okay, well, all right. Let's get involved. Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. I hate to dive into families like this and get involved, but sometimes I can get in and get out pretty quick. That's the beauty of it. Where are they here? Yes, okay. Excuse me. I got to get down there because we got a crisis, family crisis. Family crisis right here. All right. Is this a one extended family? Is this all one family? No? You're not part of this family? Are you cold?
Yes.
All right. Well, why don't you put the other sleeve on too there? You. What? Here, let me.
I'm a slow learner.
Here, put this on over on this side. Do you want me to zip it?
Whatever it takes.
We're full service here. We do everything. We do PhD work, and is any way in the world you would wear snow boots?
Maybe if like I had to go in really negative cold degree like weather, but yeah.
But otherwise,
shoes will work.
Shoes will work.
He has to wait at a bus stop before school. He needs boots.
That's where you think he's waiting. He's nowhere near that bus stop. And where are you waiting at a bus stop? What school?
West.
West here in?
Yeah, in Madison.
Oh, my kids all went there.
It's a good school.
Good, yeah. So, Uggs, they used to wear Uggs.
I don't wear Uggs.
Don't wear Uggs. Okay, sorry. Sorry, man. Your name is?
Cooper.
Cooper? Okay, Cooper. You're cool. I like you, man. Good luck to you. Good luck at West. Good school. Now you're too warm, right?
Yes.
I'll come back next round and we'll go take care of that. Do you think that in the past so many middle-aged men knew everything like they seem to now? What does this mean? I'm whatever is after middle-aged, so I can't speak for them. But who wrote this? Oh, right in front there. Okay, good. I have to go back in front. Susan, pardon me again. If I step on anything, just scream. And we'll stop. All right, and then are they leaving? We just separated a couple on the basis of this card.
30 years he follows me around and bosses me, and now I'm going to be, my card got read, and now he moved away from me. Look,
he abandoned you.
Yeah, of course.
30 years.
Yeah.
And abandoned exactly. At the first little tremor of problem.
The first tremor, yes, yeah. Yes. This is the first.
Are you middle-aged? How old are you?
Rough guess. Roughly? Yeah. Over 50.
55?
No.
53.
Very good.
Middle age, it means you'll live to be 106? Okay, that's cool. That's cool. It's possible. At least that's possible. Yours is possible. Mine no longer is. What's the meaning behind all
this? I'm just trying to figure out. It just seems like maybe it's just my spouse, but... just seems like a lot of men seem to know absolutely everything about everything.
Well, and it's funny because a lot of men say that about a lot of women as well.
I think the correct answer was yes, dear. That's what I heard the original couple over here say.
I'm saying we do hear that, but I think...
You telling yourself that. The voices in your head, sir.
I don't really want to get involved in this. I'm really sorry I got involved in this. May I say, if it's your birthday, happy.
Now you know why I moved.
Okay. Well, thanks, though, and I think they shouldn't do that.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Either one of them, the male or the female, or anybody, should never think they know anything at all about anything, even if it's something they do for a living, for example, but their spouse knows really better. You don't. I'm not saying that. I'm speaking my own existence. But not really. I wasn't. I'm just saying theoretically, if that happens. All right, so we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. You saw how it worked. Okay, that's why you're not raising your hands. And now here's a chance for you to try that. TC made a real effort to be here. We've never had a PhD, I don't believe. Come on down here, man. Made a real effort. He extended his business trip. He's so overqualified that it's going to be a problem for him. Come down this way. We'll get you up here. I won't even make you give me a reason. Usually I make you give me a reason, but okay?
All right.
You cool with that?
Sure.
All right. Come on. Let's get a PhD on it. Then that's going to help our ratings. Have a seat there. I think that water might still be good. I don't know. Anyone drink that water last time? Rusty, you drink your water? Huh? A sip? Okay. Here, I'll get you a fresh one.
Cold. It's minus 50 Fahrenheit.
What do you do for kicks?
What do I do for kicks?
Yeah. Genomes.
Risk-taking activities.
You do?
Yeah.
What do you do, for example?
Jumping out of planes. And
you jump out
bicycling,
of planes? Bicycling. Do you use hiking. A chute on these occasions? Or?
I've done it once.
Okay. So
in grad school, everyone in my floor jumped out of a plane.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Probably jumped out of the grad school as well.
Yep. No. It was at Berkeley, and they were all chemists, and you're all risk-takers.
Yeah. So you went to Berkeley, you went to Stanford?
Undergraduate MIT, and then I went to Stanford, and then went to Harvard for a few weeks and finished up at Berkeley.
Harvard for a few weeks?
Yeah, I went with my advisor, but I wanted to be back west because I grew up in Hawaii, so I wanted to be back west.
Yeah, okay, all right. That's cool. And did you get what you wanted? Was that always in genomics?
No, we sort of got into that. Yeah. Chemical genomics didn't exist till recently, in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah.
So the idea is you take a lot of compounds. We work with robotic systems.
Yeah.
So robots test about, 10,000 to 100,000 compounds a day. Uh-huh. And you try to find things that might be the start of a drug discovery
program.
Well,
I understand all that, but I'm saying... When you're being trained for a field that does not yet exist, that takes a lot of forward thinking.
No, usually by half-stents, like most things. Yeah.
What did you think you were going to go into?
I actually thought I was going to be a doctor until I met my first person.
Patient,
yeah.
A lot of patients feel the same way about doctors. It's nice to know doctors that feel the same way. There's a mutuality there. And what sort of doctor would you have been?
I thought I wanted to be a surgeon a long time ago. Classic Asian, my parents pushed me, but so I rebelled.
Yeah.
Instead, went to chemistry.
Yeah,
I went to chemistry.
Heck of a rebellion. Huh?
Well, I actually liked explosives. That's what got me into science.
Explosives?
Hmm.
You're an interesting guy. I don't know.
Fun to blow things
up. But what do you like about them? The fact that they explode or
their
uses?
It's just these innocuous powders can make quite a boom.
See, this is what Stanford will do for you. Stanford and Berkeley education will do for you. MIT, did I leave any out?
No,
okay. All right, so TC, someone out there plays along with you, and you play the quiz, and that's how it works pretty much, okay?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and should I just ask the question
then? Well, no. If somebody wants to play along, they call 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, a 7-foot statue of what? They want to put a 7-foot statue of what alongside the Ten Commandments at the state capitol in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So this has been in all the news and so forth.
I know this one.
Well, you don't have to know this one. About a guy who knows everything. This is a problem that you
I just happened to go to state capitol yesterday, and they actually said this.
You went to the Oklahoma?
No, our Madison state capitol, and the tour guide talked about this.
Oh, they're going to do one here too, huh? A 7-foot statue of Scott Walker? In the state capitol? It's scary. Okay, let's go to the phones now if you know that. Dan maybe does. Hey, Dan, you know that one?
No, there's a 10-foot statue of going up in Oklahoma City next to the Ten Commandments. Moses? How about Moses then?
No, it had something to do about a political party.
It's probably not Aubrey McClendon then.
Wait a minute, Dan. You saying there is a big statue next to the Ten Commandments there now?
There either is or is going to be.
And what is that statue?
You don't mean the statue of Moses. You mean the political
party. Is there a statue of Moses next to the Ten Commandments?
I think. I don't think it's 10 feet tall.
No, this is 7 foot anyway. So you didn't read about this thing of this other alternative religion, let's say, putting up a statue there?
Is there going to be a Scientologist then?
That'd be pretty cool. Scientologist, 7 foot Scientologist would look like something.
Well,
John Travolta, I think.
I'm trying really hard
John
here.
Travolta.
I'm naming every famous Oklahoman. Yeah. Will Rogers, Okay, you know what? I'm not going to get this, am I?
No, but I want to give you credit for trying, Dan. We're going to let you in. It is a statue of Satan they want to put up there. But that's not so important. It's more trying. I'm more in favor.
All right.
It's more important to try than it is to succeed sometimes.
I have family in Oklahoma.
You have family, do you? In Oklahoma City? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Go to school down there, too?
Grew up in Hawaii. So.
Okay. Well, you grew up in Hawaii. You went to all these other schools. It didn't stop you there. What's the big deal?
I've lived in 19 places.
Okay. Can I talk to Dan for just a second here? He's an interesting guy, but what?
I have a trivia question for you. I tried to ask when you were in Akron, Ohio, but I couldn't get my question in.
Okay, what was it, Dan?
Who was the first co-host of the very 21st evening talk show in Madison, Wisconsin in 1968?
I have no idea.
That would be me.
Damn!
With Ira Fistel.
I remember Ira Fistel. And what's
he was my partner, yes.
I remember his show. We used to listen to it when I was in college.
Yeah, I tried to ask you that in Akron, but I didn't get a chance. But I've been trying to call to tell you ever since.
What's your last name, Dan?
Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R.
Dan Fuller. Did you do the news on that, or you were the co-host?
No, I was the co-host.
How cool. Yes, I remember calling in one time.
And then he moved on to Madison, or he moved on to Milwaukee, and I moved on to Kent State.
All right. Well, Dan, you're on the quiz right now. Dan, this is TC. He knows he's got quite a few PhDs. I think more than one.
Well, good.
Yeah.
We need lots of those.
Okay. So the two of you work together as a team. We have various categories, don't we, Bitsy?
Yep. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Dan, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Oh, well, I always got to go with things I should have learned in school because there's so many I didn't.
Okay, here's a question. What is a vortex, anyway? I never even used the word, I think, until recently. And so we want to know, two of you work together. Now, what is a vortex?
Partner, you want to handle that one?
You want a free definition, or are you giving me a multiple choice?
It's not a field that he studied. So
isn't vortex the center outside of cyclonic action, the center of whirling air or something?
Sounds very good.
Very good.
We say
yeah.
Descend into the vortex of the whirlpool of despair where I come from.
Right.
You do? Oh, that's pretty darn strong. Okay. Yes, a massive whirling air, whirlwind, cyclone, whirlpool, anything like that.
That's one right and zero wrong.
You know, all that money we put in your education, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't have something scientific to say about that. Okay. Hey, what's left there?
Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. What would you like, DC?
Guess I'd have to do science.
Well, this won't be anything in your field either, myself. Let's face it.
Oh.
Yeah, this is about eggplants. Wild eggplant. What is special about the new species of wild eggplant found in Australia? Australia. New found a new wild eggplant. Does it A, refuse to be parmesaned? Is it B, that the females make fake pollen to attract bees? Or is C, it's much closer to violet than purple?
Well, I lean toward the middle one, but that's only because I don't really know.
It's always a good tactic to take.
Well, none of my training prepared me for this. I don't know either. It seems like that's something I just should have read someplace.
Sounds, go with Dan. Okay.
I agree with the pollen.
Go, Dan is right. Females make fake pollen to attract bees. Okay, we got a chance here.
That is two right and zero wrong, and the categories remaining are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
A one for this takes it all because we're running out of time. Dan, what would you like?
I'm sorry, what was the first choice?
Current events, people, places,
president?
Or odds and ends. Yep.
Current events.
We'll take the first one, right.
Current events?
Whatever.
Okay. What is going to happen to those mug shots of yours up on the internet under this new agreement with the federal government? You know, these guys put their mug shots online. If you get a mug shot, if you're lucky enough to get one, they put them online and they make you pay money to get them off. This is in the news.
Oh, that wasn't the government who made you pay. It was people who were getting your mug shots and putting them on,
right.
And they're going to be forced to remove them, I understand.
Ah. TC? Yeah,
sounds right.
You came in real handy. All that education, TC. That's right. They won. Way to be, Dan.
TC, get your winter Java fix with two varieties of coffee from Big Water Coffee Roasters in Bayfield, Wisconsin, Arbeans Your Coffee, and then sip your favorite libation out of a sturdy mug from WJCT, First Coast Radio in Jacksonville, Florida. Celebrate the Heartland with greetings from Iowa Flipbook by Matt Pollard from Thumb Cinema. Take a Great Lakes tour using the Lake Superior Travel Guide from the Bayfield Chamber of Commerce. Honor ocean beacons with a poster depicting the 10 color images of the lighthouses of southern Maine. And jump across the pond to Paris and beyond
Sound with the CD What Do You Know About Chopin, with consumptive freeliner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Dan, you've won a plethora of Feldmania swag, including a pair of Greetings from Planet Feldman postcards, Michael Feldman Posse Plus 7 power stickers, What Do You Know temporary tattoos, What Do You Know buttons, and a classic What Do You Newt bumper sticker. Then, sing along with Jerry Becker's Holidays featuring Santa Said No Samba and Where Will Your Heart Be New Year's Eve, and other choice tunes on an Orchard CD. Write cheery greetings using Nebraska Shakespeare pen, entertain guests, playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including contestants, questions, and the festive Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com, and carry it all in a New York Historical Society Museum and Library tote bag from the New York Historical Society. Congratulations to you both.
All right there. We're going now, aren't we?
Hey, y'all.
Thanks for coming.
We're going to Kenosha Saturday, February 1st.
I was going to say the same thing. Kenosha Parkside out there. Join us down there Saturday, February 1st.
You can get all your information at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thanks for coming, all y'all. Thanks for listening.
PRI, Public Radio International.